You're listening to eDurus.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The word إِيَّاكَ in the Arabic language is used to strongly emphasize a statement that will come thereafter. And so when you want to make a strong point, generally in the Arabic language, the word إِيَّا is used. And so إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is translated as only and only you we worship. نَعْبُدُ means to worship. So only and only you, O Allah, we worship. So إِيَّا means in the Arabic language, when you wish to strongly emphasize something. Sometimes in Arabic you might use the word qasam, and in Nahwa, in the Arabic language, you have other expressions and words also that you can use. So Iyya means only and only you, O Allah, we worship. Wa Iyyaka nasta'een means only and only you, O Allah, we seek help from, assistance from. Now, the word na'budu, the root words are abada ya'budu. The root words are abada ya'budu. And abada ya'budu actually means to worship. So iyyaka na'budu means only you, O Allah, we worship. And the word abd in the Arabic language also comes from the same word. So abd actually means a slave. Abd means a slave. So the meaning of na'budu means that one should enslave himself to the worship of Allah only. To enslave yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Because you get the word abd also from the word abada ya'budu. And so this tells you that it is only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he should be worshipped. And this is a command for all of humanity, that if there is anything one should worship, it is only the zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq, he is the creator. And so the word na'budu means only you, O Allah, we worship. Now, na'budu is actually in a plural form. Na'budu is actually in a plural form. The noon that you see here tells you that this is a plural. Now, what happens that if you're praying alone in your sunnah salah or nawafil salah, or even if you're praying at home, do you use the word na'budu or you switch it to a singular form? That only you, O Allah, I worship? Or is it always only you, O Allah, we worship? What is it? It is always na'budu. It is always na'budu. It is only you, O Allah, we worship. Why? The scholars have mentioned that it is upon all of the human beings, insaniyats, that they only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word na'budu here is an indication that your strength is only in your unity. That your strength is only in your unity. And so one of the most powerful ways of actually achieving unity is through the method of salah. That is why salah is farz upon a person 5 times a day, as compared to the other obligatory duties. Hajj once in a lifetime, zakah once in a year, fasting once in a year. Mashallah, but namaz, salah, 5 times a day in your 24 hours. This is a very powerful system that Allah has given to this ummah, and this actually unites all of the people. So a person can be rich, a person can be poor, a person can be young, a person can be old, a person can be educated, a person can be illiterate, unlettered, a person can be white, a person can be brown, a person can be black. Any individual, mashallah, by coming to the masjid, to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that unity is shown shoulder to shoulder, stand together, and this actually creates love and bond amongst the Muslimin. That is why this system is very, very powerful. Very powerful. One of the reasons why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when you wear an izar, it should be above your ankle, because in Arabia, the rich Arabs, the rich aristocrats amongst the Arabs, to show their wealth, what they would do is that they would have a thawb, a garment, that was so long that would actually sweep the ground as they would walk. And this was a symbol, a sign that this man is wealthy. So that is how they would walk. So they would have a long kurta, a gown that would just drag along. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, lift up your izar, lift up your kurta or your izar above the ankles, not knee. By, you're not in the, are you? It's summertime. You've still got a few months, Rafiq bhai. No, it's fine. Absolutely fine. It happens, you know. But above your ankles, this is something which is very, very important. And that is why you find that when people come, mashallah, the izar is above the ankle, because it is the hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It gives unity. It creates this uniformity amongst the believers. That is why Allah has used the plural form. That if you want unity, then salah is your best option. Salah will make you one. Salah will make you powerful. Now think about it. When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was asked and commanded by Allah, ordered that he should build a house of Allah, Baytullah Sharif. And so what we see in Makkah Sharif is the Kaaba. What is it? Kaaba. Now, how many people can Kaaba accommodate? Was it a masjid that was built and designed for a few hundred? Ever wondered? I mean, Masjid Umar is bigger than the Kaaba, isn't it? I mean, in size, of course, nothing beats the Kaaba in status. But if you look at Masjid Nabawi, mashallah, it's a big masjid. Even during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you look at Masjid Aqsa, it is big. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had no choice but to build the four walls. The reason is that Baytullah Sharif, actually this building, is the point of Qibla. What is it? The point of Qibla. And so all of the Muslimin, wherever you are, when you face the Qibla, it actually makes you one. It actually makes you one. So you can be anywhere in the world, you are facing the Qibla, and it is that Qibla, subhanallah, which Allah has chosen as a receptor upon which the mercy of Allah descends from the heavens. And so that is why when a person dies, one amal is that you turn the face of marhum toward the Qibla. Why? Because the rahmat of Allah actually comes from the Qibla. So for an example, if you haven't got a good reception here, example, you've only got one bar, someone will say, Haba, I know this masjid. Go in that corner, full signal. What will they say to you? Go in that corner, full signal. Why not here, full signal? Why there? No, reception, you know, reception. So that person will go there to have a full bar, reception. So that is why the scholars have said everything that is wisdom in Islam, we should not just take something as insignificant or trivial. But when the scholars have said and the ulama have said, turn the face towards the Qibla, there is a reason that when you turn your face towards the Qibla, that connection of rahmah is with this marhum. Immediately, the doors of rahmah open up, that reception opens up. There is a good signal, because that signal is taking you straight to Khane Kaaba. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam actually build the main section, the main point, which is the Qibla, to actually unify the entire Ummah, and the masjid actually is around the Kaaba itself. The masjid actually is around the Kaaba itself. But that building is, subhanallah, a block, a cube, Baytullah Sharif, that is there to maintain unity, bonding and love amongst the people of Iman. That we all stand in a straight row, shoulder to shoulder, and we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all facing one direction, because we worship only one God. We only worship one God. So that is why na'budu actually means to enslave yourself towards worshipping only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has used the word in a plural form to maintain that unity. That is why in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the example of one believer to another is like a single body. That if you have pain in your eyes or in your mouth or ears or in the stomach, it will actually affect your entire body. So if there's pain with one section of the ummah, it should be felt by all of the Muslimin elsewhere. Why? Because we are bonded with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and we are sealed with performing salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one direction, that is towards the Qibla. So iyyaka na'budu means only you, O Allah, we worship. And so in this ayat kareema, Suratul Fatiha, ayat number 4, two very, very important principles have been mentioned. One is ibadat. Ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for no one else, nothing whatsoever. And then the second very important principle explained is, there is a possibility that someone might worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if he wants to ask for help, he might ask help from another source. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wa iyyaka nasta'een, and only from you, O Allah, we seek assistance and help. We seek assistance. Now the word nasta'een here, it actually comes from the root word ista'ana yasta'inu, which means to seek help. In the Arabic language, you have other words also that are translated as to help someone. And the famous word is nasara. Nasara yansuru. It means to help someone. But there are different levels of helping someone. The word nasara means to help, but in an emergency, where there is a dire need, a desperation, where a person has no choice but to help. So that is called nasara. But ista'ana yasta'inu is at a lower degree. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that in desperation the whole world will turn to Allah. Isn't that the case? A man who's desperate, where will he go to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in desperation, generally the masses go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not something that Allah wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the ummah that desperation or no desperation, at all times ask for help and assistance only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you have another word which is called awnun. Awnun means to help. And that is where you get the word ista'an. And then you have nasara. Nasara means at an emergency. At that level you help a person. But because generally everyone turns to Allah. But great individuals are those that at all times they only ask help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, a person can ask individuals to help him, that is fine. But even then, the intention is that who is the real source? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, isti'an is of two types. Isti'an, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps a person. Sorry, to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is of two types. One is isti'anatul aam and one is isti'anatul khas. Inshallah, with examples you will understand. Isti'anatul aam means at a humane level where individuals and human beings ask assistance from one another, which is a reward, which is something very good. Children need to assist their parents. You look after your neighbors. You can help someone. If the teacher says, bye, give me a pen or give me water, somebody will come and give water. Example. So at that humane level where a person is helping someone, that is jais for a person, that he can ask another individual, another person, bye, this is what I need. This is completely jais. And this is something that in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person. Because in the hadith it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps that person who is there to help his brother in need. And so you'll find many ahadith that give that meaning. So that is accepted because that is isti'anatul aam. But one is isti'anatul khas. Isti'anatul khas means help which is only the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help which is only the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for an example, if a calamity befalls an individual, who is there to remove that difficulty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should only take the name of Allah. That is the sabak that Allah is teaching you, the basics in Surah Al-Fatiha. That, oh Allah, only you we worship and only from you we seek assistance. So it is not jais for that person to ask for help from anybody else. Because nobody can remove that difficulty away from you except for Allah. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salam said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I am ill, it is only Allah who gives me shifa. هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْكِينِي. It is Allah who gives me food. It is Allah who gives me liquid drinks to take in. If there is any difficulty, a person is not well, Allah gives shifa. Any issue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain things that you can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. And if a person thereafter gives that status to anyone else in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah forbid he is playing with fire. Then Allah forbid he is playing with fire. That is why, for someone to say, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein al-Madad, Ya Hussein al-Madad. What is that? This is haram. Ya Ali Madad, Ya Ali Madad. What are you talking about? Read Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah has given you 99 names. وَلِلَّهِ أَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. There are 99 names of Allah. This is what the Quran is saying. مَنْ أَحْسَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Such beautiful names that if you remember them, Allah will give you Jannah. But the shaitan blinds you from these names. He blinds you from these names. He doesn't allow you to take Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Quddus, Ya Malik. Says no. Ya Ali Madad. Ya Ghaus Al Madad. You fall down. I remember some individuals from my family members. Why go far? That if you fell down, they'd say, Ya Ghaus, Ya Ghaus Pak. The one who can only protect you is who? Allah. Allah, understand this. Understand this. This is something very, very important. Our scholars are also mindful when you say Ya Rasulullah. Now, why do you say Ya Rasulullah for? What is the wisdom in saying Ya Rasulullah? You have 114 chapters of the Quran. Where do we find the word Ya Rasulullah? The word Ya Rasulullah. Where do you find that? Allah speaks of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil. These are respectful names that are given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, my respected brothers, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. This can save your iman. That is why Allah has put it in Surah Al-Fatiha, right in the middle, verse number 4. And what is in the middle of your body? Bhai, bolo na. Where is your heart? Here. Your heart is not here. Your heart is not here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has located it where? In the central section. Central section. Subhanallah. And that is why you do sujood. So blood needs to get to your heart. So when you do ruku, it's towards your heart. And your heart is connected with your mind. So when you do sajda, blood flushes towards the brain. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these two very, very important points right in the middle of Surah Al-Fatiha. Right in the middle. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Any man who gets this wrong is doomed. Is doomed. Look at our Salafu Salihin, my respected brothers and elders. Look at Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. Was this a common theme for them? Was it a common practice for Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in? Was it common for them that after Jummah Salat, that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Huraira, the genius, all of these Sahaba would stand up in the masjid, fold their hands as if you're in your Salah and read Salatu Wassalam? Have you seen that? Have you seen that? Have you seen Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi do that? Have you seen Imam Abu Hanifa do that? Well, where do you get this from? You see, in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the sign of a munafiq is that when he speaks lies. When he speaks, it is a lie that comes out. You will find a segment of the Muslim community that have habitually been lying upon the ummah. Habitually. Habitually they lie. And the wording is something that is very, very important. Oh, that these people don't like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tuhmat number one. What is it? Tuhmat. Now, why is it that they don't like Rasulullah? Oh, they say that they don't pray durood. They don't pray salatu wasalam. I want you to find me one Muslim in this world that does not send durood upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He can't be a Muslim. Who doesn't pray durood, bhai? The only difference is that the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at choose to pray and send salatu wasalam to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the manner that is shown to us by him, by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is what we choose. We don't choose bid'ah. We don't want to choose an innovation. We'd rather be safe than sorry. We'd rather be safe than sorry. We don't want to do something that the Sahaba did not recognize, yet they were deep, passionate lovers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such lovers that if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to spit, they would put their hands there. They would put their hands there and rub it on their face. That is the kind of love they had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do you think that they would have missed out from something as important as Durood Sharif? They didn't practice this. So the idea is, it's not about Rasulullah or Ya Rasulullah. The question is, my respected brothers, isti'ana, seeking help, at what level? Now, what is the reason that people want to stand up and read Salatu Wasalam? Why? Why? In your namaz, do you read Durood Sharif? How many people read Durood Sharif in their salah, bhai? Do you guys stand up and read Durood Sharif? If you were to read Durood Ibrahim in a standing up position, what fatwa would a mufti give you? What would he say? That your namaz is? Fasid. Fasid. Your namaz is broken. So in your namaz, Allah has said when you sit down, read Durood. So why do people actually stand up and read Durood? What is the wisdom? You see, the truth only comes out when you speak the truth. The issue is that a segment of the society, namely the Barelvi community, they take Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be Hazir Nazir. What is it?
Hazir Nazir.
Hazir Nazir. Now, no man from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the year 2014, no Mufassir has generally done a translation of the word Shahida of the Quran. In the Arabic language, Allah has described his Nabi as a Shahid. No man has ever done a translation of Shahid as Hazir Nazir except for Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Except for Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Now the issue is, when you connect the two, Hazir means someone who is present, and Nazir means someone who is watching. Watching. When you join the two words, Hazir Nazir, it gives you a meaning that that person is with you at all times. You see, if you say somebody is watching you, that is fine, he is Nazir. But with Nazir, you are actually saying he is Hazir. Hazir. That means, at what level is he Hazir? At what level is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam Hazir? At what level is he? How come nobody amongst the scholars have ever spoken about this? No one. No one has done this translation. And if you actually say that Shahid means that you are a person who is a witness, and a witness needs to be present and to see an event, that is also wrong. Because the Muazzin uses the same words as Shahadat Shahid every day in his namaz. And he says, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. What does he say? I am Shahid of Allah that he is only one. Does it mean that that Muazzin has seen Allah all the time? It doesn't mean that. Otherwise everybody would be Hazir and Nazir. Because Allah has described this Ummah as Shuhada. And so what is really dangerous, my respected brothers, is when shaitan actually pushes you to the limits. And how clever is Shaitan that it opens the door of bid'ah and the Shaitan himself gives you the answer. So if you go to somebody and say, look, why do you say Ya Ali Madad? He'll say, oh no, you know what? We say Ya Ali Madad, but my intention is that Allah is the one who helps. If that is your intention, then how come this was not taught by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was not the common theme amongst the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in? Why not? If it was permission, Allah's Nabi would have said, look, you know, at the time of Takleef, don't worry, my Sahaba take their names and take my name and do this. Everything was possible. And so this is the issue where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be fixed to a place. Therefore what we say, Allah is hazir and nazir according to His own knowledge. According to His own knowledge. We don't fix a place for Allah. He is hazir nazir according to His own knowledge. But you cannot say hazir nazir to anyone in this world. Why? Because this will eventually lead towards shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the scholars, subhanallah, we have to understand, Islam is a religion that tackles everything by the roots, not by the fruits. Isko yaad rakho bhai. It tackles everything by the roots, not by the fruits. So don't play all of these dangerous games. It is very simple. We worship only Allah and we take assistance only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest human being. Allah's Nabi is Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen. He is Mujtaba, Mustafa. There is no words that this dirty tongue can speak of this great human being. The beautiful Sha'ir says, Ba'd az Khuda Buzrug Tuhi Kissa Mukhtasar. And so this is something which is very, very simple. And so there is always this propaganda that comes from Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, is majlis ko kabul farma. Ya Kareem, Ya Allah, hamari maghfirat farma de. Allah hum miskeen hai, gunahgar hai. Allah humne bahut gunah kiye hai. Allah bahut gunah kiye hai. Ya Allah hum sunte bhi hai. Ya Allah hume ehsaas bhi hai ki hume tauba karna hai. Phir bhi hum ghafil hai. Ya Allah hum aise hai ki Ya Allah gunah bhi karte hai. Phir Ya Allah uska zikr logo ke samne karte hai. Ya Allah fakhr karte hai. Bajaye ye ki tauba karna tha. Ya Allah hume taufeeq de Ya Allah. ہم توبہ کرے یا اللہ ہم استغفار کرے اور اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے یا اللہ کہ ہم سیدھی راہ کے اوپر چلے اللہ کے رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی صحیح محبت ہو سنت کے اوپر چلنے والے بن جائے اللہ کریم ہماری جوان نسل کی حفاظت فرما اللہ ہماری صلاح خاشعین والی صلات بن جائے خشوع والی صلات بن جائے یا اللہ ایسی صلات ہو یا اللہ جو مقبول ہو اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے دین اسلام کے اوپر ہمیشہ رہے دین اسلام کے اوپر ہمیشہ رہے ہمارا خاتمہ بالخیر ہو ہمارا خاتمہ بالخیر ہو یا اللہ موت اس وقت تک ہمیں نہ آئے یا اللہ جب تک کہ تو راضی نہ ہو جائے یا اللہ تیرا راضی رہنا اور ہو جانا یہ سب سے بڑا فریضہ ہے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے مالک تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو نے ہمیں یہ ایمان کی دولت دی ہے یا اللہ ہم تو بیکار لوگ ہیں یا اللہ ہم نے اس ایمان کی قدر نہیں کی ہے یا اللہ محض اپنے فضل و کرم سے یا اللہ ہمیں طاقت دے توفیق دے دے اور مرتے دم تک یا اللہ یہ ایمان ہمارے ساتھ رہے وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین